Welcome to week 8 of the Trojan Preview. Asa Lucas with the Atlantic Trojans head football coach Joe Brummer. Coach, thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Asa.
And coach, we got to start off with that 35-14 victory against Perry. A nice win by the Trojans going on the road. One of the more unique atmospheres, I think, in high school football there. It was a cloudy, dark, moody sort of evening. Trojans were up 14-0 at halftime, and then a 35-14 victory with Perry getting a few scores towards the end of the game there. What did you notice about your team last Friday?
Yeah, no, we kind of talked about the environment beforehand. It's a little different. They didn't play a lot of music. They don't bring a lot of people. It's a long road trip, so our fans, I thought we had a lot of them in attendance for how far of it is, but overall it's a different environment, but I thought the kids played well. We had some younger guys step up. Ethan McNeil had a good game. Our three leading tacklers on defense were all sophomores with Jake Wales, Carter Hadley, Grant Petty. So those three played really well for us. Defensively, Ethan did well offensively. And then the usual guys kind of stepped up big for us. The O-line played well. Xavier Darrow had a big catch for us, as well as some blocking. And then Gavin ran really well up the middle for us at fullback. Overall, I thought we were pretty balanced on who got the ball. And we had some good timely throws there out of Tristan. 3 of 5 passings, what we need out of him. And I thought overall we played pretty well.
You had 2 interceptions there by Kinnick Jewell. You had a scoop and score for Jared Hansen. Then the 3 touchdown runs by Tyson O'Brien. It just seemed like the Trojans, in that capacity, things were a little more smooth. It seems like everything was clicking on the defensive side of the ball there. And what have you liked from Kinnick and coming back off of that injury, close to the midway point of the season, and then what he's shown you now at here towards the end?
Yeah, you know, Kinnick had a really good game. He's our senior leader. He gets the defense aligned. Him and Coach Satoff work pretty closely on play calls, getting him in, with Jake Wales as well at linebacker. But Kinnick's the one that really kind of calls the defense, rights the ship. And not a lot of people have thrown kind of to his side this year. So we kind of expected that. His tackles are a little bit down, his interceptions a little bit down from a year ago. But that's because people are going the other way, which I think is a sign of respect type of thing. And they kind of threw his way last on Friday night and had 2 picks, and that scoop and score was him on the forced fumble. Oh, and they did complete a pass and he ripped it out there. So, they threw his way like 5 or 6 times, and half of them ended up in turnovers. Is a pretty good percentage for us. So Kinnick played really well. He did a good job. Like you mentioned earlier with his club that he had, even then people still didn't throw kind of to his side, even with a club or a cast at corner at safety, and they still didn't throw the ball that way. Is it kind of a sign of respect towards him and what he's done? He was a first-team all-district kid for us last year that he's doing really well. He's doing everything that we ask of him, and he's doing a great job of leading the defense.
And now coming up, it is the notable Harlan Week here in Atlantic. I think that's when everyone especially likes to tune in. This is a long rivalry, year 2 of this. I can remember my road trip last year to Harlan, and maybe animosity is not the right word, but there's definitely a lot of emotion behind this game. And then Harlan, in a way, as we talked about in an interview, helped Atlantic out with that win against Nevada 24-21 last Friday. So what does that do now with the district competition?
Looking back at it, Harlan had to win. Now that everybody's tied 2-1, except for Crescent's 3-0. In the district, that it was a win or go home type of mentality mindset for them. So, they had to go into that game and win to keep their playoff hopes alive, just like everybody else in the district did. They came out ahead of a really tough Nevada team. So it just shows their resiliency, their toughness. They're playing a lot of guys both ways because there's no tomorrow. They're getting their best guys on the field. And it shows that, they're going to be a good football team no matter what, no matter what their record is. It's Harlan, that they're a phenomenally well-coached team. And, it helps us out a little bit for the fact of, it creates that tie. It creates that kind of mess, really, that it's the playoff atmosphere from here on out. We have Harlan and Nevada the next 2 weeks, and it's a win or go home type of stuff that we don't want to leave it up to chance with the RPI and losing a game or this or that, that if we win both games that, we're the 2 seed in the district and going out with a really good record, that hopefully we can get one of those home games, with the RPI setting to get up there. But it is what it is. We put ourselves in the situation we got to win out to ensure that we're in and not leave it up to chance.
And what have you noticed with your film and what you've studied about Harlan? What are you somewhat expecting from them on Friday?
You know, they have a physical running game. You know, Lucas Francis does a good job bouncing it out, that he's quick, he's fast. You know, the Arkfeld kid at quarterback can sling it. They want to get it to Rice. They want to get it to Von Bala. They have really good wide receivers out there that block, that run, that catch. They do all the things. You know, their tight end with Dallas, he does a good job of getting in space, finding those openings. And if you're going to double-team Joseph, that he's going to make you pay. You know, at tight end, running some drags and some seam stuff down the middle. That overall, you know, it's stuff that they like to do. They get comfortable, they get in rhythm, then they get really dangerous.
And what exactly can Atlantic do? You have that observation. You have the history there with Harlan. With this game, what, in your opinion, would the environment be like if Atlantic could get that win on Friday at the Trojan Bowl?
You know, it's been like 20 years since Atlantic has
2002.
Beaten. Yeah, so 22. Yeah, it's been a hot minute. Let's see, I was 8 at the time. So it's been a while. You know, you figured it'd be electric. You know, it's something that we've only done a handful of times in other sports as well. You know, baseball, when I was coaching it, we went up to Harlan. Chase McLaren pitched a heck of a game, had a great win. You know, it sets you up for success, excitement, energy. The fans are all sorts of elated because it used to be a thing that happened more often. You know, in the 90s, 80s, that was the game to see. That was the game to watch. And, you know, we just hope that we're trying to get back to that time, that, you know, we got to make it competitive. It can't be a rivalry, really, if you don't win. We got to keep it close. Last year was one of the closer games. I think it was 27-7. Type of thing, that we just got to keep chipping away at the mountain. We got to keep making plays, you know, and we got to hope that, you know, they make more mistakes than we do. It's kind of a normal football game. They got to make less mistakes than the other team. I think it's who's going to control the line of scrimmage more. And it's just one of those things that you got to do things right in order to beat good teams, because they're not going to beat themselves. But overall, you know, you hope you bring that intensity, that enthusiasm, and that carries over into other sports. That, you know, basketball won last year with them, split with them. So that was something that carried over, made things more competitive in other sports. So it's just one of those things that they've built that culture. They've done great things, that you set this up to be a big game because they are who they are. So, you know, we just hope we can come out with that intensity, that enthusiasm, and the crowds there. We've had great crowds all year, so I expect it to be the same, if not a little bit more, because like you said, it's that week that hopefully we can get a big crowd, the Trojan Bowl's filled, and that the energy's positive, and, you know, help cheering us on and help us go to victory.
And execution-wise, what would you like to see from Atlantic besides limiting the mistakes on Friday?
Yeah, you know, hopefully get a couple turnovers in there. I think we've done a pretty good job this year compared to years past. I think we have like 10 picks on the season. I think we have about 5 or 6 forced fumbles on the season, that hopefully that continues. You know, if we can get 2 or 3 of those, that's huge. Momentum swing in the game. You know, it's something that we've been working on in practice. Ball skills, jumping routes, knowing stuff, that tendencies that other teams want to do, that hopefully that can incorporate into the game a little bit. And then, you know, limiting our turnovers, you know, ball security. Got to make sure that two hands on the ball and piles, routes are crisp, clean, coming back to the football. And then I think the biggest thing that people overlook is special teams. Harlan's phenomenal on special teams. They are every year. Last year they had a punt return on us. They've had a couple big punt returns, had a kick return against Creston. That the third phase of the game is huge when you play Harlan. That they don't take plays off, they don't take guys off. Their starters do special teams just like ours, that it's something that you got to account for and be ready for, that – you know, their punter's leading the district in 40 yards. I think he's at 42 yards on average on a punt. Their kickoff guy goes in the end zone majority of the times. You know, they've had 2 or 3 kickoff returns for a touchdown, 2 or 3 punt returns. So you got to make sure that you're going to shore those things up, because that's how they sneak in points. It's how they sneak in the yardage, and they flip the field on you, and then it limits what you can do offensive and defensively if they're in control of the line of scrimmage and where the ball is at. So, you know, special teams are going to be huge, that we got to make sure that we're locked in, zoned in, and doing well on that.
You know, would that be fair to say maybe that's a mentality you'll be preaching this week, and this is your sort of theme, is to be locked in?
Yeah, that's something that's huge for us, you know, preaching that. It's something that we work on every day as special teams as well. I know Harlan does it every single day. I know they work through every special teams every day because it's an important part of the game. Some coaches don't focus on it. Some coaches don't take it as seriously, but I think that's kind of been the difference for us, is being focused and locked in on special teams has been some difference in some games. Ethan McNeil's punt return when we were kind of stalling against Greene County was a spark. You know, Jarrett Hansen's kickoff return that almost was a touchdown in the second half. You know, against TJ was huge for us. We had a big play against Knoxville on not an onside kick, but the ball bounced our way on one of our pooch kicks that Colin Rudy jumped on it that have been huge for us. Glenwood, we had a kickoff return for a touchdown. That those things need to continue, and that's something that you got to put your best players out there to make great plays.
Absolutely. Once again, this the Atlantic Trojans head football coach Joe Brummer joining us here on the Trojan Preview. Coach, good luck.
Awesome. Hey, thank you, Asa.